What's the precedent if the U.S. government were to order TikTok to sell or else? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. Some pushback on social media and beyond after the House of Representatives yesterday voted to curb the short video app TikTok, owned by China-based ByteDance. This amid worries about privacy of user data and national security, including the chance China's government could reach into the app to manipulate content and get a hold of personal data. The House bill, passed with overwhelming bipartisan support, would force ByteDance to either divest, to sell off TikTok, or see TikTok banned from U.S. app stores and web hosting platforms. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman has more.
It's not a new idea for the federal government to try and block foreign ownership of companies with sensitive technology, says Mark Ostrow at Silicon Valley law firm Fenwick & West.
So the government can force divestitures. Many years ago, they did it with Grindr,
a dating app that its Chinese owner had to sell off because of all the personal data it held on American users. But for ByteDance to sell or spin off the U.S. part of TikTok, a huge, profitable, globally integrated social media app, is way more complicated.
Whether there's a buyer and the path forward for a sale, it's hard to say. Even if there is an acquirer, is there a way to have TikTok as people know it with the same technology and the same processes?
China and TikTok can be expected to fight divestiture tooth and nail, says Martin Trezempa at the Peterson Institute for International Economics.
China doesn't want one of its first successful internet companies abroad to sell, in effect, its secrets to some buyer.
The Senate still has to act. After that, expect the lawsuits to begin. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
The sell or get banned law faces an uncertain future in the Senate. Today, a spokesperson for the Chinese Foreign Ministry called the legislation unfair.
In recent years, although the United States has never found any evidence on TikTok's so-called threats to its national security, it still has never ceased the suppression on TikTok. This kind of conduct, of resorting to bullying when failing to win in fair competition, disrupts normal business operations, frustrates international investors' confidence, and undermines the normal international economic and trade order.
ByteDance is emphasizing the partial international ownership of its stock, saying 60% is owned by global institutional investors, including Carlyle Group and Susquehanna International. 20% of the stock is owned by ByteDance employees. The rest is held by its China-based founder, Zhang Yiming. A year ago, the big financial story was the rattled banking system. Now it is the roaring stock market, electrified by artificial intelligence and the U.S. economy. The S&P 500 is up about 32% in a year. That's more than quadruple the 30-year average, inflation-adjusted, dividends reinvested. The Economist magazine has been looking at this phenom. A fine time to invite to the studio here the Economist's editor-in-chief, Zanny Minton-Beddoes. Zanny, welcome back.
Hi, David. It's great to be here.
Well, stock market's looking pretty good. If you look out the window, you can see some of New York's financial industry in action. Are we getting ahead of ourselves? Is it getting a little overinflated?
Well, look, it's been on a tear. Since 2010, the S&P has returned 11% a year in real terms. So you're thinking, okay, this all sounds really, really frothy. But remember what Alan Greenspan once said about irrational exuberance? I think there are actually some reasons this time why it is rational exuberance. There are some kind of underlying reasons which do make sense of this. One is that the US economy, contrary to what most people were expecting, has actually achieved, it seems, that soft landing. Growth has been really quite strong. And secondly, that there are remarkable earnings in some of these companies that are underpinning this.
And I want to bring this up, Zanny. I mean, the newspaper magazine you work for uses a term, a mirage, to describe the way that the market's performed over all these years.
There are two things that have flattered earnings in the last 10 years. One is that the corporate tax rate has consistently come down. Borrowing costs became cheaper for much of those 10 years because interest rates were at rock bottom levels. That has now turned around, as indeed has the trajectory of corporate taxation. We did a weighted 142 countries, and we looked at the median corporate tax rate. And in 2022 and 2023, those were the first years where it started going up again. So if you think you're in an environment where corporate taxes are either going to stay the same or go up, but no longer go down, and you're in an environment where interest rates are either going to stay the same, possibly go up, but unlikely to hit those rock bottom rates again, then two of the really big underpinnings of the last decade's returns are no longer going to be there.
All right. And that gets you to this view that the next 10 years aren't going to be like the last 10 years.
I'm pretty confident the next 10 years won't be like the last 10 years. You know, you could say, well, AI will take a rabbit out of a hat and it'll all be marvelous. Maybe. But it would have to be a serious rabbit out of a hat. But that doesn't mean that we're going to see a stock market crash. You can have, you know, much lower returns, a much less exciting looking market without it being a bubble bursting.
One last thing is, a lot of this is here in America. I mean, Japan has had a good ride for its market, especially in the last year. Special case there, perhaps. But the whole world's stock market isn't necessarily joining in the exuberance.
Well, China certainly isn't. No.
No.
Yes, Japan has now, you know, the Nikkei has reached highs again. But remember, it's been a pretty grim 30 years there. This is overwhelmingly a U.S. story. Yes, there are other parts of the world where stock markets have been doing well recently, but nothing quite as extraordinary as the kind of scale of what's been happening in the U.S.
Zanny Minton-Beddoes, editor-in-chief of The Economist. Thank you.
Thanks for having me.
In New York, I'm David Brancaccio, Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.